Hello and welcome back to the Bad Boxing Podcast with me, Tris Dixon, top coach Adam Booth, and Alex Arthur, former world super featherweight champ. Guys, last night, Anthony Joshua returned to action after about a year from the ring. He'd beaten Andy Ruiz and he came back and he beat Kubrat Pulev last night. I was there. So a couple of weeks ago, you guys were at the Conor Benn show and I was left at home. Last night, I was at the fight and you guys stayed at home. One day we'll get together one of these days. But Alex, I mean, what was your thoughts on how Joshua fought?
Well, first of all, I don't think that us three should be put together anywhere. I think it's very, very dangerous. But back to the fight. He looked a little bit stylistically, he looked like he was trying stuff out last night for me. Very upright, never quite seen him that upright before. Left hand acting as a bit of a lever, using it as a bit of a wand to wave around and maybe try and, I don't know, almost like he'd been watching the Klitschko fight and analysing it. And it looked to me a little bit like he was trying to take something away for that. He looked pretty much like Klitschko style-wise last night. Obviously, they're very different fighters. His punch picking and his punch variety was a little bit different. I felt a wee bit of a sense of maybe after he hurt him in the third, I thought he was maybe, is he a wee bit gun shy now? He didn't rush in and try and get the finish in the fourth. But overall, boxed pretty well, used the jab to good effect, left his cell in a couple of dodgy wee positions and situations that I thought he looked like someone a lot better than Pulev could have exposed. But overall, you know, it was a good win.
Adam, what were your thoughts?
Well, exactly what Alex just said, that when he came out at the start with that.
We can't have this every week, can we? I'm gonna have to chop one of you. Gonna have to find another B or another A.
You know what it is? We think so similarly. Our boxing brains are pretty bloody similar, so even if you know, I mean, I don't like the guy, but we've got pretty bloody similar boxing brains.
I do have a slight twist on Alex's opinion, though. If you're both piped down for a couple of minutes, so I can actually get a word in. So he came out and he had an Eastern European Klitschko type attitude with that wandering left hand high up and using bouncy legs just to take the distance away whilst trying to nullify that aggressive push jab that Pulev likes to come in with. If you remember the Klitschko fight, Pulev actually stiffened Klitschko with a jab in the first round. And that's the first thing that struck me was, oh, I think he must have been watching elements of Klitschko because it looks like he's trying to Klitschko it. But he also had a bit of head movement with it as well. He was changing his heights with his head, which Klitschko never did. So actually, it was almost a little bit like a South American Klitschko style that he adopted in the early rounds, which I was really impressed with. He then caught him with the counter right hand in the third round, tried to get rid of him, didn't, and had to settle down again to being cautious, because one thing about Pulev is his hard craziness can unsettle you. And that's what unsettled Klitschko. And I think that AJ is adding things to his game. He's building a whole heap of experience now and adding different styles and different feels. I don't know whether somebody's coaching him to do that or whether he's figuring it out for himself. But I was impressed with it. He kind of looked like he ran out of ideas with his flow around round 6, 7, 8, something like that. And then all of a sudden, where Crazy Pulev started trying to, you know, up the psychological game, AJ became a little bit more careful, had to get out of being backed up and a couple of times looked a bit clumsy running off to the right whilst trying to get away from the attacks. But all in all, it was a competent, comfortable win with a couple of nice little flows, and at the end of it, really almost a classic AJ type finish.
So, Alex, let me read this to you. This is what I wrote for Ring Magazine from Ringside last night. Okay. And tell me if you agree with this. I put, this is still an improving Joshua. He's moving well. He's not afraid to win portions of a fight being ugly if he has to. He can entertain and he can box a bit too. A late starter to boxing. He could be a couple of years from his peak. This might not be a Joshua who has necessarily found his own style, but it's one who's collecting all the tools he needs to win big fights.
Okay.
But what I'm getting at is kind of what Adam said. He's working on all areas of his game, and I don't know that he's necessarily got his own style, but for each opponent, he's going to have different tools that he's going to use to try and nullify them and obviously box to his best ability to help him win a fight. And that's the way I'm seeing it. He's not a guy who's going to fight a certain way necessarily to win a fight unless he's fighting someone leagues below him, but he's going to fight in a way that he will adapt and adjust depending on what's in front of him.
Well, it's a really important attribute if you want to be a great fighter, isn't it? Being able to change stylistically, adapt to the opposition that's in front of you. I really do think that you probably should have consulted me and Adam before you wrote that. I'm messing with you. Tristan was really good. And, it was good. It was good. What you said was perfect.
I wouldn't say perfect. It was good.
It was good.
I wouldn't say perfect.
No. Adam, I was trying to be nice. I still believe that you should have consulted us.
We are way past niceness.
No, okay then. Okay, right. Let's just get back to being who we really are then. Tris, I'll speak to you off air. But anyway, back to that. In all seriousness, guys, the fact that he is even thinking about trying to change stylistically and adapt to what's in front of him does say quite a lot about AJ now. I think that the Andy Ruiz experience, looking forward, is possibly going to be, I think, something that he's going to use to his advantage rather than his disadvantage. I think that he's now becoming maybe a little bit more cautious. Or is it caution? Like, Adam will probably touch a wee bit better on this. Is it caution or is it box? Is it ring IQ? Is it intelligence? Is it something that he has taken away from a bad experience and used it to, you know, make him a little bit better?
Well, Klitschko did exactly the same thing, didn't he? Klitschko used to be one of the most exciting heavyweights in terms of going out there and just letting his hands go. And then once he ran into, was it Lamont Brewster? Totally changed and became safety first and a methodical big man that would outpatient them, break them down, and then go for the knockout if it was there. I think AJ is a little bit more athletic and a bit more of a risk taker. So I think even though he is being, I wouldn't say cautious, he's just being sensible. You've got a big man in there that's known for being a handful, and you're world heavyweight champion, and you've got huge unification fight ahead of you. Why would you do any stupidness? I thought he won the fight relatively comfortably. And I thought he did, for almost the entire fight, he did the right thing at the right time. He's actually beginning to show that he is becoming an adaptable world champion who can give you different looks, which is hard to prepare for, because which AJ is not just going to turn up on fight night, but what's he going to do differently in different rounds? And I'll refer back to Sugar Ray Leonard. I dare you to go back and pick 10 Sugar Ray Leonard fights. Try and find two where he looks the same. Every single fight, his style was slightly different or drastically different. And it was all based on the man in front of him. And I remember when I spent a bit of time with him a few years ago, and we were chatting, I was talking about his fights with Marcos Giraldo and guys like that. And I asked him what his game plan was when he went into the first Tommy Hearns fight, because he just looked lost for the first six rounds while he was bouncing around. And he said, "We never had game plans back in the day. We knew we were good, and we used to get in there and figure it out for ourselves." Yeah. And if that is what AJ is doing, there's nothing like self-education. There really isn't. Yes, coaches need to guide fighters and protect them and encourage them. But a fighter that's prepared to take responsibility to think for himself and evolve for himself, ultimately, when the shit hits the fan and it kicks off in a round, they're the ones that can that find their way out of it better.
Yeah, I've pointed to the similarities with Klitschko before the fight, actually, wondering if AJ was going to be gun-shy after what happened in the first Ruiz fight. And I thought how last night was going to go would have depended on how AJ started the fight, whether he was cautious right from the start or whether he came to stamp his authority on it. I think, like you said, Adam, I think there's probably more fight than flight in AJ, though. If someone wants to stand in front of him and have a tear-up, I can see him, particularly if he gets hurt, he doesn't have that same grab thing that Bruno had. He doesn't have the same sort of cowering thing that the Klitschkos did. AJ sort of does want to plant his feet and have a go back and try and prove his dominance in there. And also, I think commercially, he knows that, you know, if he boxes like the Klitschkos, the English fight fans, I think, will sort of begin to turn off a little bit because they don't want to see boxing exhibitions all the time. Correct me if I'm wrong. What do you think, Alex?
I don't know if he's particularly thinking about that at that point in time when he's in there. Because the fact that he, like Adam said, he looks like he's trying to find a new sort of, like, not a new style. He's not trying to find a new style. He's working with different ideas, different sort of...
different thingies.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he's... He's clearly still a work in progress. Remember, this is a guy who never started fighting until he was he 19 or something, you know? So even though he had an extensive amateur career, even though it all came a little bit late in the day, he never done the whole junior thing, you know, world juniors, European juniors, all that kind of stuff. So I think there is still elements to Anthony Joshua's game that he's trying to work out, like Adam said, for himself. And I guess that the way that that's going to happen, the way that that's going to come best for him is with nights like last night, having different kinds of opposition in front of you, how to adapt to this guy, is he going to be a little bit different with someone short and squat, a heavy hooker, someone who's tall like Klitschko? He's adapting all the time, but I don't think that he's thinking about... you know, becoming a boring boxer just to be successful. And it's not really fair to call guys like Klitschko boring because what they done was remarkably effective and they had great success with it. Was it pleasing? Was it aesthetically pleasing for the fans? Maybe not in Britain, maybe in Germany and Ukraine and stuff, possibly. Over here, no. But I don't really think that's what Joshua's... I don't think that's at the back of his mind at all, no.
Adam,
There's a difference between being effective and entertaining, and I think AJ's got is evolving a balance of the two, where he's got to be effective using these new elements that he's putting into his game, but also entertaining. And if you look at him right from the start as an amateur, when he did the ABAs, he always looks to hurt you when he punches, and I don't think that element's ever going to leave him.
And I think that's going to change, that's right, yeah.
Nah. I actually, it was a few fights ago, and I genuinely can't remember which fight it was, but there was a few fights ago where he started boxing with a really low left hand, like he was trying to hide behind the shoulder defensively. And I remember thinking, he's just trying a new style out here. And to be able to do that, as world heavyweight champion, or to be stepping in to a unified title defense and trying a new flow in a fight for a first time, that just takes immense commitment and conviction to what you're doing. And for me, that was the most impressive. That's the most impressive thing, that he's adding things to his game as unified world champion. The same
and
way.
A wee bit balls as well, eh? And a wee bit balls.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because it's not like. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Whereas Deontay Wilder, he's got one style. Pulev, one style. There's a lot of fellas out there, one style. Tyson Fury, all of a sudden, can be a back foot fighter with the longest jab from a 6'9" stance. Or now, he's added more of a Kronk Thomas Hearns-like attitude to his game. Yeah. So he's proved that he's got two styles that he's really effective with. And that's beginning to make their matchup for me even more intriguing now because it's going to be harder to predict.
Well, that's even before you think about Fury boxing southpaw as well, which he does from time to time.
Yeah, there you go.
Aye. Well, I was just about to turn into Trish there and forget my place and right, lads, let's go. Come on, let's get out there. Let's talk about it. What is going to happen when they fight? Trish, you'll probably give me a row offline about this.
That's my job, Alex. You shouldn't be.
We're going to be more confident than me. Then it's actually going to happen. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, we're going to be as well. We're going to be as well touching on it now because, come on, it's got to happen, man. They can't keep messing around, delaying this.
Nothing else has any appeal now other than them. Not a fight with Usyk. And I saw that the WBO was saying that that Usyk would have to agree to step aside. I don't think anything really should stand in the way of that fight happening now. It's such a standout fight in the division compared to anything else. Anything else now would just be disappointing and demoralizing.
Floyd Mayweather was there last night. He made us wait 5 years for that Pacquiao fight when really it was the only fight that mattered. They ended up fighting, an old Mosley and God knows who else they ended up fighting between them. But there was all that time where they should have fought from 2010 to 2015 and they spun it out. And commercially, you'd have to say they were right. I mean, it left a bad taste for everyone. But in terms of the money they made, when they eventually got it on, they made more money than they would have done 5 years previously. Yeah. So
the business of Mayweather, overtook the entertainment of him as a fighter once he started going up in the divisions, and it just became about money. That's all it was. And even in his name, it just became about money. I don't think AJ and I don't think Tyson Fury are like that. I genuinely think they want to fight. And I genuinely think they want to hold all the belts. And that's what we want to see.
Let me just ask you technically about something last night, actually. So someone said, one of you guys said earlier that sort of around round five or six, Joshua looked like he might be running out of ideas. He then, from I think around seven and eight, he then started really focusing on the jab to the body and trying to bring through that right
hand over the top.
Yeah. Well, the right hand over the top and the right uppercut.
Yeah, the right uppercut worked well for him. I think it knocked out Dillian White. It was the one that turned it big style against Klitschko. His right uppercut mid sequence works for him, where he'll land a shot, and the very next one he'll throw is an uppercut, which is a hell of a difficult one to defend against once you've been caught and you're trying to grab hold or. And I think he's rehearsed that one really well. It was nice to see him be creative with it as well. And he was trying like three or four on the spin, So even as an aggressive puncher, he's trying to be imaginative and athletic. And that's going to make him, more unpredictable, more dangerous. But yes, you're right. The uppercut was and has been in quite a few of his fights in the past a prevalent shot.
So, Alex, who would you pick then if Fury was to fight Joshua next?
So right now, if they were to fight in a couple of weeks' time, I'd probably have to go with Fury right now. My reason for that, I think that he seems to be a little bit more sure of himself and what he's doing, why he's doing it as well, more so than Joshua at this particular point in time. For me, the quicker the fight happens, the better for Fury. The longer they leave it, the better for Joshua. The reason I say that is because I do really feel that Joshua, again, like me and Adam have reiterated tonight, still adapting, still trying different things, still working out what works best for him, why it works best for him, where I think Fury is Fury. And I think that Fury's adaptability right now and the confidence that he has in what he can do would be the deciding factor. How do I think it would go? I think it would probably be like a points win. If they're going to fight in a couple of weeks, a points win. Again, the longer I feel they leave it, the more I'd start to favour Joshua.
Adam, which way would you go if they were fighting next?
If Alex and I were to play boxing tic-tac-toe, the game would never end. I'd still pick Tyson. You got to understand the length of that jab and the effectiveness of his styles and his confidence. AJ is an immensely impressively improving champion, but I think there's one thing that I haven't seen him do that I think he'd need against Tyson, and that's that he'd need to be able to move his head going forward. And I haven't seen him really move his head going forward. And I don't remember seeing him fight a guy that was a lot taller with a lot longer reach as well. And I think that would come into play, because that jab from Tyson, it's getting more potent as he evolves as a fighter as well. So yes, I fancy. I'm only basing it on what I think now, and if I had to pick now, I would probably favour Fury. But if AJ is able to be aggressive with head movement whilst punching, then that would make it very interesting.
Okay, Alex, I know you wanted to touch on the Shakur Stevenson fight last night against Tokakan Clary, but we are up a little bit up against it because it's an action packed week that we've got ahead. So we might have to skip that and go straight to next week's main event, which will be Callum Smith fighting Canelo Alvarez for many of the pound for pound number one. Adam, has Callum bitten off more than he can chew?
I don't think you look at it. He's got the holy grail of fights for any world champion. It's the biggest challenge out there, technically, I think, for any fighter. And you have to make, I can't think of any reason why Alvarez isn't the favorite for that fight. If anybody has got the physical stature to potentially test that, it's certainly Callum. Yeah. I looked at it last night and they're actually both the same age. They're both 31.
That's amazing.
31. Amazing. And when you think about that, you forget to realize just how long Alvarez has been at the top of his game. There's nothing that Callum does that Alvarez hasn't already proved at championship level that he can deal with. There's nothing that Callum does. But that doesn't mean that the fight isn't there for Callum to do something, because it certainly could be. And at some point, you know, will Alvarez just get not bored, but have had enough of being technically the best fighter in the world, where the competitive edge comes off him? But it's the biggest challenge out there technically for any fighter. Callum does have attributes to make it a challenging fight where he could have success.
Yeah.
And I really like Callum. I do. I hope he does it. But I'd have to favour Alvarez.
Alex, when people first talked about this fight more than a year ago, people were saying that Callum has a decent chance because he's such a big super middleweight that he's going to be the biggest man that Canelo's ever fought. And then Canelo leapt over 168 and stopped Kovalev at 175. And now actually Canelo's got better form at a weight above Callum Smith. So all of a sudden, the size thing is a little more redundant than it would have been a few months ago or a year or so ago.
It does the thing that makes everyone believe that it doesn't really matter what. I think his stature, I think his physicality, his stature, I think he must walk around probably about the 190 mark or something like that, because on the couple of occasions that I've met him, he's looked quite different. On both occasions, I met him in Vegas before the Mayweather fight.
He probably said the same about you, to be fair.
He probably did, actually, yeah. And then when I met him again in Belfast, he looked totally different. I mean, I know it was a massive difference in weight. I don't know what he weighed in Belfast, but certainly when I met him in Vegas, he looked like a little boy. His neck wasn't the same, even close to being the same as when he was in Belfast, or, you know. So I think the drastic changes in his physicality, I think he's one of these guys who is able to go up and down without any negative effects at all. I think he's such a technically brilliant boxer. He can use what he has to negate big guys, little guys, just no Floyd Mayweather, obviously. And I think that he can use that kind of like, again, that stature, that sort of almost, you know, he's got almost like a Tyson build. It's amazing, really. He must be physically very strong as well, you know, to deal with a light heavyweight like Kovalev. We know he probably wasn't at his absolute best. We know his time was up a little bit. But regardless, it doesn't really matter about that. The fact is the size thing. And the fact that we know he can knock out light heavyweights, you know, and light middleweights or whatever is, you know, it just says so much about the guy. But I think he's just blessed physically, I think.
Adam, what do you do if you're Callum Smith? Because we talked about multifaceted champions earlier in the heavyweights, and obviously Canelo has shown that he could go on the back foot and try and box, and obviously he was more aggressive going into the second Golovkin fight against Kovalev. He started slowly, figured him out, and came on strong down the stretch. You know, how do you prepare for someone like that? And we sort of did touch upon it earlier, when A, you don't know what you're going to get, and B, someone so capable, they can do all these things.
He needs to establish a tempo and pressure, which would also be the biggest risk, because if you only establish tempo or pressure with your hands, then you become more predictable. You're there to be countered. He could use his size a bit like a Klitschko, where he's always in his range, using that front foot and reach to make Canelo believe that he's in range, to make Canelo react whilst not being predictable with his punches. But I don't think, like, if he allows Canelo's skills to control the tempo of the fight, because when Callum lets his shots go, Alvarez uses that exquisite defense to control it, the pendulum just ends up going all the way towards Canelo. So he's got to set a tempo to win the round. Don't think about stopping him. Don't think about hurting him. Think about picking up the points and giving nothing away while you're doing it. That's really what Callum's got to try and do. If the more greedy he gets, or the more headhunting he puts on him, or the more he tries to be hurtful, I think that plays into the skill sets of Alvarez a bit more. I think he's just got to be a point scoring, unpredictable pressure win for Smith.
Alex, what do you expect from Canelo? Obviously, I mentioned a few different ways that he's come at different fighters. How do you expect him to address Callum?
Well, I mean, ideally for Canelo, he's going to try and I think he's going to try and draw something for Callum. I think he's like Adam said, he's going to try and bring that sort of exquisite head movement into the picture. I think when the bell goes, I think both guys are going to try claim centre ring. I think Canelo will show signs of patience, or he's going to try and relay that to Callum. In an ideal world for Canelo, he's going to be hoping that it's going to be single shots, in my opinion, that are coming at him. If it is single shots and Callum and the guys down there don't make those adjustments, I think it's, like Adam said, I think once the rhythm starts to change, it's all going to go in Canelo's favour. I think Callum can't be... I honestly really do think that... See, old school British boxing, a double jab and a straight right hand from long range, not even from long to middle range, but all from long range. Loads of variety with the jab, no single jabs, single jabs. If Canelo starts to read single jabs, he'll start to counter them. He'll slip right, he'll throw the right hand. He'll slip left, he'll throw the left hook to the body, or he'll go with that wavy hand and he'll throw the left hook to the head. I think that the good old-fashioned British boxing basics, a double jab, a backhand to the body long, high jab, a low jab, a high jab again, loads of variety with the jab, will give Canelo a different idea. It'll change his thinking. It'll change what he's got to do. We all know he's the kind of guy that can then readapt. So I guess that you've got to have backup plan B. You know, if Callum does employ the tactics, what can't happen as well, in my opinion, is that they both stand head to head with their hands up high, looking to work inside. Callum does like to fight like that. He's got great elements to his game where he'll go with a right uppercut and he'll swerve round to the left hook to the body. He's fantastic at that. Sometimes Callum will let you overreach. He tries to run you into the left hook counter. So we've got loads of tactical, you know, thingies on both sides, really, that we're going to have to see who actually employs what tactics. And in my opinion, Canelo is tactically really, really smart. So in my opinion, the best thing for Callum is to stick behind the old British boxing skills and double jab, cross, try and keep it relatively long, and maybe, you know, take it as far as he can. It's tough, man. It's tough. It's tough to be up against Canelo.
Callum Smith's last fight was that win over John Ryder, which some thought was a disputed win. It's not ideal prep. I mean, the fact, A, that it was more than a year ago, B, that it was against an aggressive southpaw, and C, the fact that it's not a good confidence builder being fighting someone a few levels above.
That's tough. Adam's dead keen to talk here, and I think we should probably listen. So
sorry. I think that's irrelevant. I really do. I just want to go back to what Alex just said. Being unpredictable with those basics, absolutely. Don't get too greedy. Don't start looking for hooks. He does not want to be inside with him. And as good as Callum is on the inside with the uppercut and the left hook, where he chips that uppercut and then goes downstairs with a left hook, that's just going to play into exactly. Alvarez is the best in the world at that.
Yeah.
And not only that, he's a shorter man.
Fact.
You do not want to be in his territory, because that's where he wants to be. And he'll use his defensive brilliance to lure you into that trap. Yeah. So a basic, boring, unpredictable jab, double jab, up and down. The one thing I would add to it is, if you have those moments of success with that basic style, don't stay too long. Step off, reset, keep changing your position. Don't linger too long, because what Alvarez is going to do is going to come out with his guard up, slightly out of distance, and instinctively, Callum's going to try and start finding that jab, and he'll start to look at it from out of range and gradually creep a little bit closer the more and more he's reading it. And if Callum leaves his feet there, that's where Alvarez changes his tempo and all of a sudden springs something on you that you don't see. And the next minute and a half, you're just busy thinking about him and what he's going to do. And all of a sudden, you're in his web. So I do agree, Alex. It needs to be basic and unpredictable. Just don't stay too long at one moment.
No.
Okay, relatively quick summing up, because I still want to touch upon Golovkin if we get time, but we've only got a couple of minutes. Adam, prediction for Smith Alvarez?
Alvarez on points.
Alex?
Same.
Oh, God, this is ridiculous. Okay.
What's yours then? What's your prediction?
Go on. Let us hear it.
Yeah, no, I think Alvarez will get to him. I think that long, lean torso, I think he's really going to come gunning for that. And I think he'll try...
You're saying stoppage, TD.
I'm saying stoppage, yeah.
All right, cool.
Sorry, okay. Cut me off.
Adam, if he outdoes us on this, it's going to be bad, man.
You're going to need a D. You're going to Paul Dempsey or something to host it.
Oh, God.
Anyway, right, guys, so I did want to touch upon Golovkin, who's now 40 wins, one loss and one draw. He fights Paul Kamel Samerta on Friday night. Golovkin is looking for that, obviously, that big trilogy fight with Canelo. Guys, what do you think Golovkin has got left in the tank? Alex, start with you, bud.
Well, you know, we've not seen the old treble G, to say the least, lately, have we? So, has that really long, arduous career with the style that he's had, all the years? I mean, how many amateur fights did this guy have? You know, how many tough camps has he been through? Olympics, all those tough world title fights. You know, this fight is probably going to be, you know, I would assume quite comfortable for him. They are really hoping that they're going to get the trilogy. I just don't see. Oh God, it's hard to say because it's unfair. But you want to see boxers making the best of what they have in their era. Does the world really want to see a third match? I think it would be quite one sided. I think it'd be an Alvarez masterclass. I think he'd totally outbox Treble G this time. He wins next week quite comfortably. I think probably inside 8 to 10 rounds. Is it relevant? Probably not, sadly.
Adam, so what's your take on Golovkin, where he's at in his career, and do you see that third Canelo fight happening?
Potentially. It's, you know, I think he's getting well paid. I'm not sure that he is committed to being an improving fighter as he has been over his career. I think he's got other interests. But irrelevant of that, that second fight honestly showed me that I don't see how he can beat Alvarez. I agree with Alex that if there is a third fight, I see it being an even more clear win for Canelo.
Yeah. Which in many ways makes you sympathise with Golovkin more, because that first fight was his, wasn't it?
Yes, it probably was. Had to watch it back just to see if what I actually thought on the first occasion was the correct way of thinking. And when I watched it back a second time, I think that he'd done enough with the jab. Just seemed to be a little bit busier. He seemed to be a little bit more sure what he was doing was more effective. Alvarez, you can't go as far as saying he looked lost, but he still looked like he was trying to like figure Golovkin out by round 8 or 9. And in that time, Golovkin was super busy with the jab. He was landing it often. Seemed to be winning the exchanges up close, which is totally random and even hard to believe when you think that, you know, when you think now someone winning the exchanges up close with Canelo is probably not possible. So yeah, when I look back on it, I thought, you know, Golovkin, he probably did get done out of that decision.
So yeah. Just in closing then, guys, just a quick one each. You guys have both picked Canelo to win on points, and obviously I've picked Canelo to win via stoppage. It should, and we said that the Golovkin fight probably doesn't have the same luster that it once did. So what's the best fight for Canelo that's out there? Either of you, like, what's the big fight? What's the market?
I'm gonna leave that to Adam. I'm gonna leave that.
No,
to Adam.
I was just about to say, dropping these little two-bit questions on us. No, what do you think? What, Tris? What's your answer?
Well, I mean, obviously, obviously, as a boxing punter, you love guys that go up and take the challenge, don't you? And obviously, yeah, he's gone up to light heavyweight and he's beaten Kovalev. I mean, imagine if he beats Bivol and Baturbiev. I mean, imagine those fights as well. But is that asking too much of the guy?
I think, yeah, but I mean, Baturbiev and Bivol, they are, especially Bivol, he's heavy-handed, young, fresh. The Kovalev that Alvarez beat was a Kovalev that looked like he wasn't the fighter that he used to be.
Sure.
And I think Alvarez took magnificently took advantage of that. But I think that the other boys just might be too big and too accomplished as light heavyweights for Alvarez to want to challenge. I think he's smart in the challenges that he takes.
Yeah, but I mean you know, I'm just talking a dream fight scenario, because obviously you do want to see these guys test themselves and you want to see exactly how good these guys are, you know, the very, very top guys.
I may well have been a bit too dismissive of the trilogy fight with Triple G. Be interested to see what he looks like, you know, if Alvarez comes through the Smith
that's
fight.
True. Aye, that says a lot. Yeah, yeah.
Be interested to see what Triple G brings to his fight to make it more mouth-watering.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. All right, guys. Well, we'll wrap it up there. Pardon the Christmas pun. But thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it, as always. Oh. And and we'll be back.
I had to double check that was a pun. It was. Yes.
I know, it's scraping the barrel. But we'll be back next week, guys. And obviously, we'll catch up post-Golovkin and post-Canelo and Callum Smith.
We have a time sorted now to do it. We're becoming professional in our approach.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a great week.